Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures Podcast. This is episode 298, and we're here to bring you the latest and greatest gaming news of the past week. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, everyone. So, little weird that, you know, it happens on a Saturday, because, you know, unless, like, all the social media stuff has been pre-scheduled, you know, it feels like, you know, stuff is usually happening more during the week with that. So I don't know if there's really been a big emphasis on it this year. But May the 4th. Go watch Star Wars today or something. So hope everyone's had a great week. This week was a kind of a rough week to find news topics, let me tell you. There were a couple like, you know, for me personally, big topics. But really, I was like, am I going to have to do like a filler episode? there really wasn't a whole lot. You know, I think, we're at the point where there's not a lot of like super big game announcements right now. I think maybe we'll start seeing that next month. You know, when E3 would be. you know, maybe companies are holding, you know, a Nintendo Direct, maybe a State of the Play, or whatever Xbox is gonna do for their thing. Not a lot of big announcements. Everybody's just talking about Helldiver. Like, my news feed is just Helldivers right now, because it feels like the news cycle is just like whatever the latest big game is out. Every gaming news website is just going to publish article after article. And a lot of them are just the same stuff. It's like everybody's just posting the same thing over and over again. And just like flooding news feeds about that game. Like they did it with Baldur's Gate 3. They're doing it with Helldivers. They did it with Starfield, I think, is the Bethesda one, right? They did it with that. So, like, I've noticed it, like, every time a big new game comes out. You know, Tears of the Kingdom, they did it. Like a big new game comes out, and all of a sudden, like, every news article is just talking about how you can do this thing, or and it even just, like, tangentially related stuff. Just trying to milk every single piece of SEO that they can to find anything related to that game to drive traffic to their websites. Which is because of advertising, which, because it's my day job, I hate it. So, inside scoop on how digital advertising works. And it largely made the internet bad. So, So that said, why don't we get the show on the road so that I can go watch Star Wars? Because I want to do that. So let's get into this week's topics. All right. First up, Wargamer reports that tabletop company Asmodee, I had to look up how to pronounce it because it turns out I've been pronouncing it wrong my entire life. So Asmodee, I reported last week, was part of the Embracer split. It's going to become basically the tabletop, like it's going to oversee like all the tabletop operations that Embracer had going on. So like all the companies that did tabletop stuff is now going to get rolled under Asmodee. So if you all recall, Embracer split up into three companies, one of which was Asmodee. Another one is, this is like Lord of the Rings, it's like Middle Earth, and it's like their AAA video game department, because I guess like they just exclusively do Lord of the Rings titles for some reason. And then Coffee Stain is going to oversee like their mid-market and like mobile casual indie gaming division. So those two divisions, the AAA and the indie, no debt coming out of this. You know, part of the reason for the split was like Embracer in lots of debt, not managing it very well. And they settled Asmodee with $958 million worth of debt. So like it seems like Embracer's entire debt load or a big chunk of it is getting sent to Asmodee, which like, yeah, they're a very successful board and card, you know, tabletop game company, doing board and card games. But that's a lot. So yeah. Embracer strikes again, folks. So yeah, we'll have to see. I guess the theory is that because they've been able to kind of manage finances and leverage their debt fairly well, that Embracer thought they stood the best chance of, you know, managing this and then, you know, bringing in enough revenue to cover it and not affect their valuation. I don't know. It seems weird to not split it evenly or anything. So, yeah. Yeah. So, I have a vested interest in this because I'm currently waiting on the latest edition of Innovation, which I backed on BackerKit. I think they went straight to BackerKit instead of Kickstarter. But yeah. As someone who you know plays a fair amount of board games and has friends who play a lot of board games, you know, Asmodee comes up quite often. So not great if it turns out that this debt turns out to be unsustainable. Since, you know, it's almost $1 billion for a you know, tabletop game company. Not great. So next up, speaking of not great things, Wizards of the Coast announced changes to the D&D Beyond Marketplace. Namely, so for one, this first part, actually a benefit, is you will be able to purchase the physical and digital bundles that you could only previously get through, like, the D&D store. You can purchase those on D&D Beyond now. That was a move that, like, is fairly recent. But now that D&D Beyond is actually a part of Wizards of the Coast, they're able to do that bundle. However, not great for, you know, local game stores. Cause like it gives people more of an incentive to buy directly from Wizards instead of from your local game shop. However, it comes at a price and not the price of the bundle. The price for putting this on the marketplace, I say that, but it's just two separate things happening at the same time. A la carte purchasing has been removed from the marketplace. So for folks who aren't aware, and just a quick recap of D&D Beyond. So D&D Beyond is an online platform for managing your characters and managing some aspects of your campaign for Dungeons & Dragons. It is run directly by the makers of Dungeons & Dragons. Used to be a separate company that like had a partnership, but then it got really popular and had a decent chunk of market share. So then Wizards was like, we're just going to buy it. Up until now, D&D Beyond had a thing where, you know, let's say you weren't interested in buying a whole book of like character options and stuff. And instead you were like, hey, you know, let's use me as a person. Like, I play rangers in D&D. Maybe I only want the ranger options in a book. You know, instead of paying the full price, which for a digital book is usually like $35, like $25 to $35, you could instead pay like $3 to just get the ranger options and maybe a dollar or two for magic items. Essentially, like, it's kind of microtransactions. But in this case, like, it allowed you to sort of piecemeal buy a book. And the price of the full book would then be, like, if you were to buy it later, the price would be reduced by the amount that you paid for the content that you bought piecemeal. So this was a great way for people who, like, don't have a DM that, like, buys everything and shares the content and stuff, to just get the options that they're really interested in, for having their character in D&D Beyond. So it was a really, you know, it was a much more affordable way of doing that. Taken away. No longer a thing. You will still have access to content that you purchased, but you will not be able to purchase any further content like that. And I believe it will also no longer reduce the price of the full book. So this, not great. This is a scummy move. And like it does nothing. Like, I don't know. So here's the thing. Like, I don't know if there's actually market data that just says people are just buying full books anyway. So, you know, let's just remove this option, because let's phase this out. Or if their hope is to force people to buy the, like, if it turns out that people are actually buying the stuff, if they're forcing people to, if they're going to just force them to pay the rest and buy the full book. You know, because I've done it a bunch. I've bought piecemeal stuff. Namely for, like, if it's, for example, a setting book that I'm not really interested in the background lore of the setting and just want mechanical character options. Or, like, if it's an adventure book and I have no intent on running the adventure, but would like access to the monsters and the magic items in that adventure, yeah. Sure, you know, I would rather pay $5 for that stuff than pay $35 for a book that I'm only going to use 10% of. So, yeah. It's scummy. you know, and this is apparently, it wasn't the CEO, but it was somebody who was higher up at Dungeons and Dragons specifically, like a part of the executive team, like came from EA and was looking at, like, is very much into this kind of thing of like really driving monetization, looking at AI, which also, I don't know if something else happened, but Wizards of the Coast put out a statement, like, for transparency in AI use. And, like, I don't know. I think they're, I really think, like, they can talk about that as much as they want. And they're just going to have to get to a point, like, they're just going to have to accept that because they've been caught a few times before, that damage to the reputation has been done. Like, it's done already. And, like, you can come out with transparency statements and your policy. Well, and here's the, and, like, they keep emphasizing that, like, to protect the identity and reputation of, like, the people that they work with, like, the artists that they work with, which, I don't know. I feel like, here's the, because, like, the community's going to find out. like, they're going to figure it out if a particular artist is in violation of stuff. So, I don't know. So, like, they weren't talking about specific artists or pieces or where in the point of a process things fell apart or investigations into allegations of, like, AI usage, like, in order to protect identities, and, like, in that case was keeping it a little obfuscated. And it's like, at that point, you gotta just accept that people are going to harp on you about it until the end of time now. like, unless you do a complete executive turnover, you know, and at this point, probably spin yourselves off of Hasbro, which won't happen. But I really think that they're just going to have to accept that they lack a lot of goodwill with the community. So, and they keep making decisions like this. So, not helpful, Wizards. Anyway, speaking of anti-capitalism, Game Changer. Kotaku reports that, so the little maze game from Game Changer's recent episode, Deja Vu, is now available, like, the public can go play it for free on itch.io. There is a password to do it. The password is G, capital C, 123. And it's just a little, you know, your options are, like, to go left or to go right. And it's sort of like the, I mean, it's sort of like Doom or the Windows screensaver. I remember there was some kind of, like, early Windows game that did this. But it's basically to avoid, like, comical pitfalls that make you start over. So yeah, for those that don't know, Game Changer is an excellent show on Dropout.tv. Not sponsored. I just really like Dropout and Game Changer. So yeah, that's a cool little thing, that they made that available. I mean, unfortunately, if you watch the episode, you do get the solution. So, maybe if you want to go try and play it yourself, like, give it a couple days to, like, forget what the solution is, and then just try and discover it your own way. But yeah, so that's up on itch.io. I don't know what it's called on there. But the Kotaku article has a direct link to it. So just remember, you got to enter the password. But it's available for anybody. For now, anyway. Speaking of Hasbro, before, GamesIndustry.biz reports that they are investing over $1 billion in internal video game development. Which means, like, they have, I think, 4 studios. So these are projects being developed by those 4 studios, which includes a new franchise. Titles will include, there's the Dungeons and Dragons game that I mentioned from the same folks that made Disney Dreamlight Valley, G.I. Joe Snake Eyes game is in development, quote, something spooky, end quote. And the new sci-fi IP is Exodus, which is made by, some of the folks who worked on Knights of the Old Republic, are working on that. Next bit of news, Square Enix, game developer, reports that Square Enix recorded almost $141 million in, quote, content and abandonment losses, end quote, after making cuts to streamline its development pipeline. So these are projects that they canceled in an effort to redistribute their assets toward other projects that they wanted to promote and push through the pipeline. They don't say what those projects were. And like one of the big fears right now is like if it just means that like instead of doing like a wide variety of titles, you know, that everything's just gonna go towards Final Fantasy 14 and future Final Fantasy remakes. Because, you know, and I when I first saw this, I had mentioned, like, my hope is that this doesn't affect sort of the smaller studios that are part of Square Enix that work on things like Triangle Strategy, Octopath Traveler, Bravely Default, you know, any of the remakes like the Saga Frontier Remastered or Tactics Ogre Remastered. So yeah. You know, I don't know if this means, like, I don't know if they're a, I don't think it's anything as nefarious as, say, Warner Brothers. You know, I don't think they're canceling stuff and, like, purging it just for the sake of tax benefits, you know. But based on commentary from Square Enix before, it seems like that maybe they get a little too focused on a couple of different ideas. Or, you know, there's some questionable decisions being made. It also could, you know, actually, now that I think about it, it could be that maybe these were projects that were investing in questionable ideas that they decide that they saw, like, this isn't going to work out at all. We need to cut our losses. Like NFT nonsense. That they were going to go all in on that. And then look at what happened to that whole industry. So yeah. Last bit of news. Unity is getting a new CEO finally, like a new permanent CEO. VentureBeat reports that Zynga's former COO, Matthew Bromberg, has been appointed as CEO, president, and board member of Unity. So this is somebody, I guess, like Zynga and EA. So unclear if this is going to be a positive or negative for Unity. You know, when I hear Zynga and EA, it does not strike a lot of confidence. But who knows? Maybe just with how bad everything went over with that fee structure, that it just scares anybody. I don't know. So that wraps up the news for this week. Thank you all for joining me. Hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Star Wars day and tomorrow with Revenge of the Fifth. So if you want to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, go check out our website. Throw the link in here. I can spell it correctly, 8bitadventures.com or 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support that content, the best way to do that is to become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. I am currently looking into updating all of the patron rewards and patron reward structure. So be on the lookout for that. Big shout out and thank you to all of the current patrons for your continued support. And finally, if you would like to... Sorry. I completely lost my train of thought. Went on some other tangent. No, finally, our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. If you want to find his stuff, you can go check it out at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. You would think, after almost 300 episodes, I would have this down pat. No, I don't. So, on that note, everybody, have a great weekend. And thank you, audio listeners, as always, for that. And if you get this through Apple Podcasts or whatever, leave a review, 5-star review. And otherwise, if you, you know, if you don't have the budget for supporting monetarily, engage with the content, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. There we go. Call to action. So on that note, have fun, everybody. Stay safe. Hydrate. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.